Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Your eyes, they're scanning the screen. You see something that's wretched. What are you going to do with it? That's obvious. Send it to idea@wretched.org. We love wretched things, sermons, stories, articles, whatever is wretched, please send it to idea@wretched.org. And that includes questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. Don't forget, you can use your thumbs and text away to 877-282-2337 and use your right to free speech before we weaponize it and take over the planet and control everything. Have you seen those stories, Jimmy? J.D. Vance delivered a speech, I believe it was in Munich, talking about the importance of free speech. And it's fascinating. I think it was the Prime Minister of Germany was like, well, we just see it differently. J.D. Vance is saying, hey, freedom of speech, free press, really important. Hold on, I got the article right here. There can be no security if you're afraid of the voices, the opinions, and the conscience that guide your own people. What I worry about is the threat from within, the retreat of Europe from some of its most fundamental values, like religion, like speech. Vice President says, Europe faces a crisis of its own making. Yep, pointing to censorship and disregard for voter sentiment as bigger dangers than external adversaries. Now, the German president, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, said, it's clear the new American administration holds a worldview that is very different from our own. Yep. And somebody in Germany should know better, because in World War II, free speech was stifled, unless, of course, you're Margaret Brennan. What's a Margaret Brennan? She's from CBS, Sunday Morning Face the Nation. She criticized J.D. Vance's speech, claiming, this is just staggering, that the Holocaust happened because free speech was weaponized. What? What? It is the exact opposite of what happened in Nazi Germany. Are you kidding me? And the answer is no. And that's coming from the press. They just see it differently. They have to control speech because they're actually claiming free speech can be weaponized. So the dissemination of bad ideas can actually be manipulated by those in power to control. Talk about what's up is down and what's down is up. Absolutely staggering. People weaponize free speech. Free speech is what is used to keep people from tyranny. That's it's just absolutely amazing. So exercise while you still have it, your right to free speech. Text away 877-282-2337.
So we're going to start with the most important question that I have for today. This is from Joe.
Well, then it's all going to be downhill.
Yeah, it absolutely will be all downhill all right from here. But I wanted to give you enough time if it needs to take the entire show. Todd, I was wondering, how do you make sous vide chicken salad?
Ah, that is the biggest question.
I heard you talk about it a while back. And so I got a sous vide, but I don't remember how you said you did it.
Well, the chicken cooking part is easy. If you're not turned on to sous vide, I'm telling you, you will actually get a better glimpse of the amazing food and banquet we will experience in heaven if you get a sous vide. I'm telling you, see, everybody does that. Everybody laughs at when I say it's the best type of meat you'll ever eat is when you do the sous vide business. And then they eat it and they're like, oh man, my world has just been colored for the first time. You put the meat into a Ziploc baggie with whatever flavorings you like. So if you're doing a chicken salad like tarragon or rosemary, whatever you're into, and you just put it in a Ziploc bag. You dip it in the warm bath, a sous vide. It's just a water heater. And you put the, you set the temperature for however long you want it to cook to the degree you want it. You'll never have more tender meat, period. Then you make your chicken salad any way that you want to. It's a game changer because typically, you know, with chicken salad, it's really tough with chicken dishes where you have to saute the chicken and then put it into something because you it can sometimes get cooked twice and it's, you're chewing a shoe, not with sous vide. So boil it and you'll be happy. I'm not kidding. If the Lord says Fortis Institute is done and I need to go find a gig to support my family, I'm selling the sous vide machine. That's all I'm... Oh, by the way, speaking of chicken, this is harder than I thought it was going to be. We had Zaxby's the other day. The chicken was awful. That hurts a lot. I'm not sure. I couldn't finish it. I could not finish a Zaxby's chicken sandwich.
Wow.
How... And then I saw a video just this morning, this avian bird flu. What's up with that? I got to talk to Tucker Carlson. He's got to give us the down low on what's happening with the bird flu because I'm sure Joe Biden is involved somehow with this, but all the chickens are dying and the eggs are more expensive.
Yeah.
Is that true?
All the chickens are dying, yeah.
Well, what in the world? You know what? All right. You can just insert the black helicopter sound effect now. I'm just telling you, Pfizer's going to come up with an avian vaccine. That's all I'm saying. Every chicken needs to get one. Or you don't love your grandparents.
They've already fast-tracked one.
Did they really?
Yes, they have. I don't know if it was Pfizer, but someone...
Stop!
Let me find that story.
Stop! 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Brian. Todd, you made a statement the other day that sin is never satisfied. Is that credited to someone or is that an original wretched thought?
I don't have any original thoughts. So probably taking it, I don't know. Somebody was just writing, rightly so, about the issue of plagiarism. There's definitely lines, to be sure. But when it comes to preaching a sermon, a pastor, for instance, he's probably going to read a number of commentaries. And I think some of the rules would be if you do a direct quote, give the guy credit, give the woman credit. It's their intellectual property. So just say it. Like the other day, this wasn't easy, from the pulpit, I had to give credit to C.S. Lewis and then immediately offer the C.S. Lewis disclaimer. But his thoughts on heaven were so profoundly insightful that I just had to use them, man. But I had to give him credit because it was a direct quote. But that doesn't mean that everything that you read in a commentary that kind of gets into your brain and joggled around and then spit out in your words demands a quote. Now, if it's an idea, let's say, for instance, I said, forever, the law must precede the gospel. That's mine. You say that sounded a lot like Charles Spurgeon when he said, evermore the law must precede the gospel. But see, I changed the word evermore to forever, so therefore it's mine. If it's close, you got to give credit. If it's an idea that is somebody's, that is, especially if they're known for it, give them credit. And sometimes pastors are concerned to do that because they might find themselves having to give credit all throughout the sermon. That would be an indication. You're not putting enough thought into it, sir. Not everything needs to be cited with a reference and giving credit where credit is due. But there are definitely times when you should. As far as the comment, sin is never satisfied, I suppose I heard that. That sounds too smart for me. 8772. Do you know who said that, Jimmy? Put it in the AI machine.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing right now.
Of course. Who first said... That sin is never satisfied.
Yeah, it's...
I'll bet it, you know what? It probably goes back early church. You want to bet? You got something?
No, it says it may not be directly attributed to a single historical figure.
You see, what does AI know?
It doesn't know.
It doesn't know everything on the AI machine. I think a lot of people have said that because it's true. It always wants more. Sin is like Lucy Brown. Yeah, that's right. She's Lucy Brown, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right. No.
Lucy, Charlie Brown. It's his sister, Lucy, right?
Oh, was that his sister? Lucy was his sister?
I don't know. Whatever Lucy's last name was, that's what Sin is like. She holds the football. Come on, give it a go. You'll love it, Charlie Brown. Whoop, on his back he lies every single time. That is Sin. And it lies. Why? Because it comes from the chief liar, which is Satan himself. And that is why when you play with sin, even around the edges, do you think you can hold fire to your chest and not get burned? I wrote that because that wasn't a direct quote. You can't play with fire and not get burned. And the same thing is true with sin. Now, here is the one part of this that I think we too often fail to tack on any sort of warning about sin. It's not just bad for you to commit sin. To not commit sin is exponentially better for you. Sin whispers, you love this. You know you love this. And then what do you know? You're like Charlie Brown, flat on your back, disappointed, maybe disgusted with yourself. Every time you say no to sin, you have chosen the better thing. This is Wretched Radio.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at fortisplus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit fortisplus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to fortisplus.org right now. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage and parenting, they're not for the faint of heart, and in a fallen world, those sacred callings can feel overwhelming. Maybe you're struggling with communication. Maybe your kids seem a bit out of control. Maybe you're just trying to keep your head above water. But here's the truth. Your home wasn't designed just to survive.
But what would it look like for someone to catch sight of your marriage and think, I think it's really, really alive and it's thriving?
Join Pastor Brad Bigney, who spent over 3 decades as a biblical counselor, helping thousands of couples and families move from barely surviving to truly thriving. Each episode of Thrive tackles real issues with biblical wisdom, from resolving conflicts to rekindling romance to raising godly children in an ungodly world. Don't settle for survival mode. Let God's word transform your home into what He designed it to be. Listen to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now on Fortis Plus or your favorite podcast platforms. You can find out more about Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive at fortisinstitute.org.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these 3 questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What could possibly go wrong? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you sent me the article from LifeSite News. USDA conditionally approves bird flu vaccine for the avian flu business. Mm-hmm. What could possibly... They've rushed it to the chicken market.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong? I look forward to consuming a chicken that was injected with a mystery vaccine. I'm sure it will have no side effects. Just trust the science.
That's it.
Do what you're told. Really? As if chickens these days are not already, and they've got so much. Go get a chicken at Costco. Just try it. If you've got a membership, go to the Costco, get the $4.99 chicken. It's the rotisserie thing. They smell delicious and they're bigger than the ones that you get at grocery stores and cheaper. It's a price leader for Costco. And then give it a bite. And first of all, you're going to go, I don't think a chicken breast should be like 6 inches thick. How did this thing get so big? And then it's got this texture to it. That was the texture that they had at Zaxby's the other day. It's like, this isn't chicken. The texture of it doesn't even seem like chicken. And they're so huge. These are like the... Apparently, Costco just buys all the bully chickens, the big chickens that walk around the farmyard kicking sand into the face of the small chickens. They're too big. And the texture of it, it just ain't right. So now we're going to put a vaccine so that we can have more birds to eat because that'll be better for us.
But I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. I mean, 2 weeks to slow the spread.
This is eerily familiar. Would you please send horrifying things to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jimmy, not me, but this is from Jimmy who wrote in, Todd, my pastor asked someone what number they are on the Enneagram. Oh boy. Should I run from this church?
Not yet. Something like that, you would need to sit down and talk with a fellow about it because most people think it's harmless. Most people aren't aware that it is, as its roots, squarely in occultic practices. Furthermore, I do believe that it's an undermining of the sufficiency of the Bible. I don't need an Enneagram test to tell me what my giftings are, my personality type. I need people in the body to say, I've watched you. This is what you're like. Did you know that you do this? You know, I see you serving in that capacity. We've already got a built-in Enneagram in the context of the local church. We don't need these mechanisms. Especially one that has the background that we know the Enneagram has. Was it Ren Cherry? Would you Google Ren Cherry Enneagram?
The book.
Yeah, the book. And because he did a deep dive into the history and the fellow who invented this occultic tool that has made its way into churches. Most aren't aware of that. But most are using it probably pretty harmlessly, probably. But it's unbiblical labeling. Biblical labeling is always the best. Biblical definitions, biblical words are always filled with hope, even as they might hurt. To be called, rather than saying you're an addict, no, you're enslaved to alcohol or to drugs. So much more helpful because Jesus breaks the chains of those who are enslaved to sin. We need to use biblical language and not a red cherry duck banana split or whatever the language is. You find his book?
Yep. It's a Enneagram Theology. Is it Christian? It's a short book, 150 pages.
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about it here when it came out a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Where is Ren these days anyway? He was at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. I suspect he's out there pastoring someplace. That church would be blessed. I wouldn't run from a church, but I'd sit down, I'd gather up information. I'd maybe grab Ren's book, share with him your concerns about it, and start with asking, do you know that? Why do you use the Enneagram? Do you know where it comes from? So it's always best when you think that somebody's maybe doing something that ain't so good, ask questions, because then you won't be accusatory. You're going to sound like you're just interested in that you care. And maybe the guy goes, no, I just thought it was kind of helpful. And I grant you, there's something about these tests, these diagnostic personality tests, they can be somewhat helpful. but they're not needed. They're just not needed. You don't need them, especially one that is just, it's just, it has bad origins. And I think it should simply be avoided. Ask him questions, see what he says. If he doesn't know anything about it, then give him Wren's book, share it with him, and then revisit it again in 4 weeks, 8 weeks. And if the church is otherwise sound, the guy, let's say he doesn't change his take on the Enneagram, it wouldn't be a deal breaker per se. It would be agitating for me. It could be indicative of some other soft spots elsewhere. But based on that alone, if the church is otherwise orthodox, I wouldn't say a personality test would be a deal breaker. Would you, Jimmy?
No. I would definitely want to have a conversation with him first.
And you can.
Yeah.
And a good shepherd, if you approach it respectfully, without the finger pointing, if he's a good guy, he's going to take it in. And let's just say, when all is said and done, that the guy says, you know, I've read it, I've thought it through, I just don't see the issue, I feel this way about it. Probably as a courtesy, he should stop doing it because he knows that at least one in the congregation doesn't dig it. And that's what we do with our liberties. We put them on the back burner. If I find out you don't like something, I better have a really, 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 really overwhelming reason to override what Christian liberty is supposed to promote in us. And that is my willingness to give it up. And just think how much closer you guys will be when it either gets resolved one way or another. Whenever there's conflict, whenever it gets resolved, the relationship should always be stronger. Now, there's sometimes some sins are big and ugly and it takes time. I grant you that. But if you can get to the other side of it, oh man, you might just find yourself loving your pastor even more than I hope you already do. 877-282-2337.
Wren Cherry is currently the director of finances at ACBC.
Oh, is that right? He's still there.
Uh-huh. And adjunct professor of biblical counseling at Midwestern.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yep, that he's there. Good brother, good book, very helpful. And I would just, again, at the risk of beating the horse to smithereens, you need your local church to tell you your personality type. Think of a Enneagram as AI. It has limitations. You need that human component. You need somebody who sees you, watches you, rubs elbows with you. Whatever that means. What does that mean exactly? Is it because you're sitting at a table and your elbows are close and you're rubbing them with each other?
That's probably where it started.
If you're a germaphobe, that probably didn't work for you. But that's what you need. Somebody to tell you, this is what I see in you. The Enneagram can't do that. 877-282-2337.
All right, a text from Gabe. Todd, how do we know when we should fast and how do we know when we fasted long enough?
It's up to you. Well, I think fast enough, if you want to like a hard and fast on that, no pun intended. Don't get sick. That's not the point of it. We do not have biblical commands for when you're supposed to fast, how long you're supposed to fast, from what you're supposed to fast. Fasting is one of those things that an individual does voluntarily to speak a stronger word to the Lord. I'm so earnest about this, Lord. I'm so serious in my prayer request. I'm abstaining from fill in the blank to let you know, please, would you respond to my prayer with an affirmation and just, please, would you do this? I'm trying to show you how much it means to me. That's the purpose of fasting. How often you do it, it's up to you. If you find yourself in a system where they insist on it, well, then they're making a law where there is no law. And if it is a church that makes it a thing, even if it's a trendy thing, sort of like Jensen Franklin's church, he's big into fasting and he probably does that so he can fit into his designer suits. Now, that's a church that has lost its centrality, that has grabbed onto something that is trendy or perhaps works for marketing or for whatever other purposes. Now, fasting isn't the centerpiece of the Christian life. We have Corey and his family were at Disney. Came back and they said they were in the thing. It was one of the thingies that they've got at Disney. I don't want to get all specific here, but it was, you know, it was a film and it was this interactive experiential sort of thing. And I can't think of the name of it, but it was these individuals. They were like the monkeys were celebrating. I could be totally biffing this, but you'll get the point anyway. They're celebrating And I think the skies started to thunder. And the commenter of one of the celebrators was, uh-oh, the gods are angry at us for celebrating too much. That's the opposite of Christianity. We are the eating people. We're the rejoicing people. We're the joyful people. You can fast if you would like to. Do it privately. Don't do it to show off. Don't do it with a long face. Don't put ashes on your forehead. Don't let the world know what you're up to. This is between you and the Lord. But fasting, far more the exception. The Christian posture, typically, when it comes to food and drink, is that we enjoy it because we know that it has been provided by the one who's preparing a much grander banquet for us. Bottom line, it's up to you. This is Wretched Radio.